Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the daily rant and radio show. We talk about all of the good, bad, and the ugly of current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley. You, our listeners, are invited to call in and stand on our soapbox with us. Call 347-989-0126 between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. That's 347-989-0126. Now, here are your host and creator, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley.
Well, welcome, everyone. Happy Monday. It is Monday, August 19th, 2019. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox. We're sorry we had to take a week off last week. We were both under the weather. Craig and I were not doing well at all. I'm kind of back to normal. We'll check in on Craig here in just a couple seconds. You guys had a great week last weekend and a nice weekend over the weekend. A little warm and humid here, but otherwise pretty good in Northeast Ohio. So we're looking forward to being back and talking about all the news that's out there. We hope you'll give us a call, 347-989-0126. That's 347-989-0126. Let us know what's in your mind. Let's go ahead and jump up onto the soapbox and start talking. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Maybe it's time to let the old ways die. Maybe it's time to let the old ways die. Takes a lot to change your mind. Hell, it takes a lot to try. Maybe it's time to let the old ways die. What's going on, dude?
That sounds like a country song. I don't know that.
It is a country song. Well, it's actually a country rock song, and Bradley Cooper did it in A Star Is Born.
Okay. All right. I should have known that then. But I did not know who that was.
It's more of a country rock.
Gotcha. How you feeling, buddy?
Feeling all right. Been a lot of news, dude. A lot of things happening in the past week.
Yeah, we take a week off, and the news doesn't seem to stop and take the week off with us. It's so sad.
Last time we talked, Jeffrey Epstein was still alive.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff has gone down.
Been a whirlwind full of stuff, and especially here in Northeast Ohio, which I'll get to in a little bit. But yeah, it's been busy news week here. That's for darn sure. Where are we finding you at
lots
this fine
and lots of
summer
notes.
Day as we wind down the last couple weeks of summer?
105 degrees again today here in lovely Las Vegas. It's going to be really hot again this week, all over the United States for that matter. We're getting another high pressure system that doesn't want to leave. So it's just sitting. The other one's causing a bunch of trouble right now too. And with all these little tiny low pressure systems all over the United States. So it's been an interesting week, dude. As far as flooding is concerned, dude, all over the place. Even you guys got hit, right? Didn't you just get hit
yesterday?
Yeah,
we had a couple little freak storms come through and a little bit of flooding here. And we're at 90 degrees in humidity today and yesterday, so it's been a little warm. Definitely.
Dude, they got 28 inches of rain in just above the Tampa area of Florida. 28 plus inches, because over the next couple of days, they're still going to continue to get storms. There's all these little, I talked about this for friggin' months, man, that, you know, there's all these little storms coming out of the Gulf because that's the only place where there's a bunch of moisture and a bunch of heat. Otherwise, it's dry heat coming out of the Atlantic. That's why all the weather forecasters are like, yeah, it's been slow, but it's going to ramp up. But it's been a bunch of sand coming out of the Atlantic from the Sahara. So you don't normally have any systems in the Atlantic at that time. And that's been the case this year. But everything's popping up from the Gulf. You know, we've dumped enough plastic and enough oil and enough garbage into the Gulf of Mexico to kill it. So we've done a really good job on that, and it seems to be a specialty of humans being able to kill things and kill entire entire civilizations of animals and entire species. Just you know, no problem with that. We seem to be experts at that. And that's the area where it's nice and warm because we've added all these plastics and it's nice. The water's nice and warm. And so it's storms are collecting that humidity and that heat and that moisture and just dragging it up. And 28 inches of rain in just north of Tampa in Florida. 28,
wow.
28 inches in 3 days. And they're going to get more. They're going to get more coming up. You're going to get easily another 5 to 8 in the next couple of days.
Yeah, there's not even full-blown hurricanes that drop that much water at one time. That's pretty wild.
No. It's just one little tropical system after another that keep popping up out of the Gulf. And it's all being, like, there's this massive low-pressure system that is currently in Canada that is drawing off of the high-pressure system that's been causing all the problems in the United States over the past week, the heat and the storms. And it's drawing off of that. And the high-pressure system that's in the United States is drawing off of the Gulf of Mexico. So it's got, in Canada, it's got all of this air, this warm, humid air that's just being dumped up there. And there's, I don't know what's going on up there. I haven't really checked. I just know there's a massive low pressure system. But as far as weather events, I'm sure they're going to get hit with some rain, tornadoes, stuff like that.
I got a couple good friends up in Canada, and they said it was a beautiful day in Montreal this weekend. They had Montreal Pride this weekend. And it was very sunny
right
out there, but Toronto and
how'd that go?
BC went really good from what I hear. One of my friends was a Grand Marshal there, and so it went really well.
I thought you were going
to
go.
Nice. To Montreal? No, not to Montreal. I wish. That's the one place in Canada I've not been that I really want to go, Montreal and Vancouver. I've been to Toronto quite a bit.
You've
never been to
Vancouver, dude? Oh, no. Vancouver's so cool. Oh, my God. Vancouver is just, it's so wonderful. That place is so wonderful. I've been there a couple of times, and I filmed there when I did 21 Jump Street. And I love Vancouver. Got together with Glenn Frey when I was filming 21 Jump Street because he was up there filming Wise Guy. So, you know, it's, you're bringing back some memories for me, dude. And you've
that's
never
where
been
all
there.
My superheroes
it's a beautiful town, dude.
Yeah, all my superhero TV shows film in Vancouver, so I really want to get up there. I just haven't made it in all the years they've been making them. But CW does all of their DC Arrowverse shows film up in Vancouver. So you have Green Arrow, and you have Supergirl, and you have The Flash. Now they've added Batwoman on this year, and they've added and Riverdale's up there, of course, and so many great things from CW are up there now. So it's a big booming town.
We were just talking about Luke Perry and what they're going to do with Riverdale. Because 90210 aired, and since we've been on the air. I'm actually really, really, really proud of the entire cast. Because they were talking about it before. They were talking about some type of reboot on 90210. Gabrielle was talking about that years ago. And when Katie was down in Miami working with Telemundo and NBC and the Screen Actors Guild to get the first contract ever for Latin American television that's filmed in the United States. So, we got the opportunity to talk about stuff. Well, I almost swore. I almost swore, dude. I'm still trying not to swear. Even though I've been off for a week, so I'm a little rusty on that.
You caught yourself well there.
But
right at the
I did.
Good job.
But we were talking about all of that, and I actually got the opportunity via Gabrielle Carteris to kind of reunite with Luke Perry and over text messaging. And so it was, they were talking about doing that then. And
they did do it then a couple years ago.
They did a college thing that the original cast wasn't involved in. They
right,
did this,
exactly.
This
the original cast,
show,
they did
like,
a 90210 reboot.
Yeah, which was a complete failure. An absolute complete failure. because it needed to be the original cast. We needed to see those people and where they're at and, you know, where their characters are at. And we needed to see probably their children. So, or even their grandkids, depending on, you know, where we're at with who got married when, you know, it would be that simple. So, because everybody in that cast is now, you know, 55 years old, everybody, we're all in our 50s. So, you know, it's possible that we do have grandkids, and grandkids that are growing up, you know, that are older, that are in their 20s. It is possible. So, I'm really, really proud of, especially Tori. Tori Spelling has kind of been, she's had a rough go at this. Her, you know, you're born, and they even make fun of her on 90210 about being born into every luxury, you know, that a human being can have, and yet you're still trying to figure out how to pay for your kids. And right. And where there was some things that went down when Aaron Spelling, her dad, and I have nothing but great respect for him. I have you know, everything from auditioning to from 90210, and then doing the show and the experiences of the rap party, and I had nothing but, I mean, he was absolutely generous to me and a really, really cool guy. This something happened between Tori and her mom when Aaron died, and right. Those monies were not given to Tori. So, and there's a lot of money. And so she had to create these things, like the reality shows that she's been doing. And yes, she's getting paid a decent amount for that. You know, she's not poor because of that, but it's still a struggle because the bills are the bills. And especially when you're trying to live that type of lifestyle, you know, you're looking at 10, 15 G's a month, easy, just on mortgage and car, you know, not even food and all the rest of the stuff. So you are looking at a certain amount of money that you have to spend all the time in order to maintain that stardom and maintain in that arena that she lives in, that she was born into. So,
She
I'm
went
really
outside
proud
of it.
Of
she moved to the valley. She didn't stay in the Beverly Hills or Hollywood Hills. She moved to the valley.
She did move to a cheaper area, but it's still not. Dude, the houses in the valley are still $1 million. You're not fooling anybody. I mean, they're still very expensive, and especially the area where she lives, they're very expensive. You're looking at $2-3 million for the house that she lives in. So, you know, those bills are expensive, and in order just to maintain, and she in within the dynamic of the show, she is showing how she actually got this greenlit, how she actually got this project herself, and with Jenny Garth's help as well, getting the project developed and greenlit. And I think it's really, really cool of her, because she's like, you know, just taking her DNA as a factor, you know, Aaron Spelling, possibly the best showrunner, executive producer in the history of television, created all of these things. Charlie's Angels created all of these shows that we all, you know, for years and years and years and years, loved and adored, and created all of these. It gave all these actors a platform to become stars. You know, the majority of the people that are on the current 90210, these are stars, and it's people that he found. And for her to emulate him, and that's exactly what she's doing in this, is emulating Aaron Spelling, her father. I just think is brilliant. And I'm very proud of her. And then I'm very proud of the rest of the cast, all signing on. And I know that I had my own problems with Shanna Doherty. I wrote about that in 27 and All Washed Up. And they currently had, you know, some problems, and they talk about it. They even talk about it in the show that, you know, she seems to be a problem. But she even turned and was like, after Luke Perry died, she was like, yes, I'll definitely do the show now. So, you know, it's like it's really cool, and I'm really proud of all of them. For, I don't know if you've seen it, Scott, but they are doing, they're being themselves, but it's a heightened version of themselves.
Right. Yeah, I haven't
seen
it yet.
They're not being their characters, but their characters are falling into play, and they are talking about or trying to get an actual 90210 reboot done. That's what the show is about. That's what this 90210, this version of it, is about, and how they go about doing that. And all of their characters are, like I said, heightened versions of themselves. And it's really cool to watch, because they are playing reality within fiction. So it's really interesting to see, because there's this whole plot and there's this whole storyline, and then there's these other subplots, and there's a stalker, and, you know, there's all these things that you that wouldn't necessarily be a part of 90210, but because they did it this way, it's a mockumentary. Because they did it this way, it's really cool, because it tells a lot of, like, inside stuff on the entertainment business, and it shows a lot, like, fans don't recognize Jenny Garth and stuff like that. So, you know, it's really interesting to see them do it, and I'm really proud of them. I'm really proud of them. At first, I was like, I wasn't too sure where they were going to go with it, and if they could actually produce it right, because if it's produced like a reality show, then it's going to be garbage, and, you know, how did they do it? And then they pulled the money together, and all of them collectively actually pulled the money together. They are all executive producers on this show. And I think the entire cast.
Well, that's where they're hoping for their money, because they're not paying themselves anything.
They're really hoping for the back end that
it gets picked up.
Oh no, that's
so
what
that's
it's
what
all
they're
about.
Hoping for.
Yeah, as a producer, any deals that you're doing, you know, don't tell anybody that I'm negotiating with. But, you know, you got to be willing to give up certain things in order to have them sign. You know, and in order to make sure that they give you the monies that you need in order to produce whatever it is you need to produce. So you have to give up certain things. And a lot of that is, I know certain producers that will give up everything on the front end, including not getting paid to be the executive producer, not being paid to get to be the creator, not being paid for anything, for any of the field producing that they're doing, or the writing producing that they're doing while they're filming and while they're in pre and post production. They're willing to just wait to the very back end, and that's how they get things greenlit, because they're willing to wait all the way to till it sells. You know, I mean, till it is actually completed, and then seeing what it sells. What's his face? The producer for Get Out. He did that movie for $5 million, and the way he did it is exactly the way that I'm saying right now. Is he said, I don't want paid at the beginning. I'll take everything back end. Back end, he made $160 million box office.
Right.
Dude got more than paid. You know, he didn't need the couple hundred thousand or the $1 million that they were offering him to complete that. And so, you know, $160 million in box office. Wow. So made a lot of money on the back end of that.
It's a gamble.
Really,
I mean, obviously,
really
it's a gamble. You don't know if it's going to get picked up. You don't know how long it's going to run. But it's worth the risk for a lot of actors anymore, especially with so many television shows and streaming
and
sources and so much people out there right now. You have a good chance of it running somewhere. So. I just this weekend, while I was sick this past week, I kind of caught up on some of my Netflix thing that I haven't seen forever. And so I got to see, like, Lucifer was one of my favorite Fox shows that got canceled, but Netflix picked it up.
Did you get Hulu yet and see and watch
I do have Hulu.
Handmaid's Tale?
Well, I told you, I'm not going to watch
Handmaid's
that show. I'm not going
to
watch that one.
Dude, you have to watch the show.
Animal.
Especially with all the things that are happening
episode.
Now. I mean,
I'll watch 45 one episode,
had, what, 15,
but it's just not my
15
show.
Nuremberg rallies? 45 had like 15 Nuremberg rallies over the past week and a half that we haven't been on the air. So,
yeah.
You know, and dude, you got to watch this stuff because it's actually, you know, kind of happening. So,
like
you,
I said, I can see the reality.
Stuff.
I don't need
also,
to see the
HBO.
Fictionalized version of it. I have no desire to see the fictionalized
no,
version
what
of
I
real
said.
Life.
No, I, yeah, so, yeah, no, I said that a while ago about George Orwell's 1984 that everybody should be reading it. He wrote it in 1946 or 1948 about now, and it didn't happen in 1984, but it did happen now. It is happening now, and
right.
A whole bunch of my friends, when I was posted, because I posted the actual book, and a whole bunch of my friends were, why do I have to read it when I can sit here and actually watch it?
Exactly.
Like, oh, that's great.
Exactly.
When I can
that's
live
where
it.
I'm at. That's where I'm at. I don't even. I have no desire to watch it. I'm living it right now. So, but yeah.
Well, but you do have to get. You do have to get HBO as well, dude. You missed out on all of Game of Thrones, and you're missing out on Bill Maher. You're missing him, although he is pushing really far left. He's still.
Well, Bill
Maher
I can get on YouTube.
Gives,
Bill Maher shows up on YouTube the next day. So I can watch Bill Maher. He's on YouTube the next day. So I watch him there.
Yeah.
So I do
true.
Watch Bill Maher.
I'm trying to think. No, but there's other shows on HBO that you're missing out on. Not just that. So.
Yeah, my television game has just gone down recently. I just don't watch that much TV at all.
You have
anymore.
A show. You have a couple of shows about pop culture, man. You need to have all of those.
I know. I read
services.
About it, but I don't
even,
have the,
even
I,
like
I,
some.
It's easier for me to read than to take
one,
the
like
time
Cox.
To watch them.
Even a small one like Cox. And it's a streaming service. And, dude, even a small one like that has stuff on it. So, you know, that we all need to be
no,
paying
it's
attention
to. No, not that
to.
I can't have, get access, it's that I just don't have the time. It's too much. I could read about an entire episode in a five-minute read, then spend an hour
right.
on the television watching it. So I just don't have the time anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
But,
yeah.
But I do miss a lot of it, but it's just I just haven't had time to catch up. My DVR right now is at 58%. So I just I don't have time to watch anything anymore. I have too much other stuff going on.
Yeah, if you've got a whole bunch of recordings that you haven't watched. Yeah.
And
I
hold
I
a terabyte
it.
Of information on my DVR. A terabyte.
I tend to binge.
8%.
I tend to just binge.
I binged my, like I said, I binged Lucifer. I
binged Lucifer.
What else did I see? I still haven't got to my, what's the Kiefer Sutherland one that went to Netflix from ABC or NBC? Designated Survivor.
Survivor. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't got to catch up on that one yet, but I did catch up on like two or three series I binged while I was sick. But I just haven't watched TV in a long time, so it's kind of nice. Kind of nice.
Since we're on pop culture, I'll stick to it a little bit. Let's see. Adith Gonzalez, my Katie's friend in Mexico City, iconic telenovela star. She died in June. On June 13th, and her daughter Constanza is, and I've had dinner and lunch with Constanza as well, and Adith. You know, we've hung out a number of times. A really good friend of Katie's, all the novellas that they've done together. Her Quinceañera was on August 18th. And so she just celebrated her 15th birthday, and it was from what I understand, it was really like bittersweet, you know, celebration. So
sure.
because her mom just passed,
right.
Yeah, but they still, you know, had a celebration for her. So I just want to, that's one thing thrown out there, pop culture, 103-year-old skydiver. Broke the record. This 103-year-old lady, I don't have her name, broke the skydiving record for oldest skydiver. She's 103.
Nice.
Jumped out of a plane
like
over the
it.
Weekend.
When you said she broke something, I was worried for a second, but a record is good. A record is good.
No, she broke the record. She didn't break her hip. She didn't break her hip. She didn't break her arm. She didn't break her shoulder. She didn't break anything. She broke a record.
Nice.
103 years old for being the oldest skydiver, and I don't have her name. I wish I had her name. But there's some cool pop culture right there. Old people jumping
Very
out of
cool.
planes.
I like it.
I like it, actually. I wish more of them would do that.
Well, also in pop culture, we were talking our last day on, I think last Friday we were here, we had talked about stuff going on with Matthew Modine and the
Screen Actors Guild. He made some misogynistic comment. Yeah, at a meeting between the other candidates and himself, he made some comment about why he's running, and he said, because I'm the only man running, or something like that. I didn't even see it, but a whole bunch of people are. I think he's so dumb in the first place. I just never liked him, but whatever. My own, personal opinions don't really mean anything. But he supposedly made some misogynistic comment, and he's got more than half of the Screen Actors Guild saying, you don't need to bother being up there and being a candidate because we don't want you. So and the whole Me Too movement is just going off on him. Like, what's next? Are you going to start making racist jokes? So are people going to?
Well, it's interesting though. So, I mean, there's both sides of it though, because that's not the only side of it. It was, and we talked about this the other day, that he had some heavy hitters behind him, and some other controversies that were going on.
Yeah, but they were all told to cease and desist their behavior.
Right, but this comment was made as a joke at this, I guess it was a candidates forum, and he made it as a joke, and I guess they show the recording of it, and because it was recorded live, and everybody in the theater was laughing. It was obviously meant to be a joke, and it was just kind of but he has heavy hitters back, and again people said, why are people trying to make this an issue when it was obviously a joke? You got people like Ellen Barkin, Rosanna Arquette, Allison Janney, Diane Ladd.
Yep.
I mean, this guy has heavy, heavy hitters behind him the whole time. So I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as people are trying to make it. I think it could backfire. We'll see what happens.
It's kind of a big deal. They're all the Screen Actors Guild's going flipping out over it. And,
Right.
There's
150,000,
I
think it could backfire on the other two candidates as much as it can on him. It's kind of interesting. Plus, I went and listened to the clip real quick. Like I said, it's a public thing. And the interesting thing on it was he obviously made a joke. Then he went on to say, because I guess what happened was he said, why do you think – what happened was they asked him, why do you think you will win the presidency of Screen Actors Guild? And he jokingly said, tongue-in-cheek, well, obviously because I'm the only man running. And that's where everyone kind of ran out, which was – but then he followed it up immediately with which is actually not true. There's actually two other people running, but the Screen Actors Board didn't think they had a chance in heck of winning, so they weren't even invited to the debate. So
they weren't
counting out our own people. There's two other people that are running that weren't even invited to this forum. So he was kind of speaking out for them as well, saying we're not even – talking to our entire membership, and it's not like we are a huge membership. So he actually made some good points on it, I thought. So we'll see how it plays out. But it's very interesting to see. You can definitely see where it's polarizing there, because it's getting as much as grief as he's getting. The other two candidates that were there, Carteris and the other girl, are getting just as much grief over it. So it's kind of interesting.
Right.
We'll see how that plays out.
It shouldn't be political. It's the Screen Actors Guild. I'm not really understanding why it got that political. They're all supposed to be representatives of the actors, and they're supposed to be helping the actors out, regardless of what's going on and their whatever their agenda. I don't even get it. It's not like you're controlling a country or even a state. You know, it's like being president of a business. So I'm really not understanding why it's like this cutthroat. Gabrielle Carteris has been president for a minute now, and she has done a very good job. She is constantly negotiating, except for right now, because she's got to deal with all of this. But she is constantly negotiating contracts with different entities, different streaming services, and different networks. So, and that's for the actors. That's all it is. And I think it's, even though things haven't been retroactive, which is just my own pet peeve with the way they negotiate contracts, she has gotten these contracts negotiated, and then they can be renegotiated in a couple of years. So, it's like at least she got it done, where presidents of the Screen Actors Guild in the past haven't been able to accomplish what she's already accomplished. So I think there should be no argument in this, and that she is absolutely worthy of being president of the Screen Actors Guild again. And it's not just because I know her. I know a lot of people, and I call a lot of people out for, I can't swear, so I'm not going to, for being douchebags. I call a lot of people out, and because if you're a douche, can I say douchebag?
Yeah, that's fine. In the context you use it, that's fine. Yeah.
I call people out for that and for their douchebaggery, and I feel like the people that aren't that way, I also say the same thing. You're not a douchebag, and I'll tell people that you're not a douchebag. And every single time that I've ever dealt with Gabrielle, from on the set of 90210, from years ago to, and that's 30 years ago, and to now, which present day, like I said, we were just down in Miami dealing with Telemundo and NBC. And the Screen Actors Guild, and Gabrielle was there a lot. So I've only seen her actions, and her actions have, at least being president of the Screen Actors Guild, have been solely for the actors. There has been nothing that she is trying to get done herself and get put through herself. So I haven't seen any of that. And I think that Matthew's just kind of, I'm barking up the wrong tree. I hate to use cliches. I don't know what he's actually doing in there. And he's got, what's his face? The guy that went up against Gabrielle last year or 2 years ago, Isai. He's got Isai Morales on his team as well. And it's just weird to me. I'm like, why are you guys getting so political? She's already doing a good job. Just let her do it.
Yeah, it's very interesting from the outside, because usually, I've been following entertainment for a long time now, and usually unless there's some relatively big controversy, it doesn't get this heat. I remember the little girl on the Prairie Girl was president forever, and then Ed Asner was president forever before that. They usually go through quite a while until they actually want to step down, or there's a major issue before them that they just see difference of opinion. But I don't see what the difference of opinion is on this time out. I'm going to re-watch the entire thing that I pulled online for this debate to see what their actual differences are. Maybe we will talk about it more, because that's the only time I've ever seen a change in the guild presidency. Like I said, that girl from Little House on the Prairie was for years, and Ed Asner was for years before that. They don't change that often. So
right.
We'll see what happens.
You know something I saw, and this absolutely has to do with pop culture, but it also has to do with politics. I said this before, you need a celebrity to go up against number 45. You need a celebrity, and that Oprah is a big enough celebrity to do that. She also has enough money herself to fund whatever she needs to fund. And whatever,
right.
Anything she needs to fund, she can do it herself. And so, but I saw a thing, and I don't know if it was a joke. I don't know where it came from, but the quality of the production quality was amazing. And they used Tom Cruise himself, and it's Run Tom Run, and it's got the American flag, and it's got Tom Cruise running through a desert. And I'm serious. I'm not sure what it, if it has to do with him running in 2020, or if, I'm not sure what it was. If it's a joke, it's a really expensive joke. I mean, they had to spend $2 million easy on this promo. And,
wow.
And they've got Tom Cruise running through the middle. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can see it on YouTube. They've got Tom Cruise running through the middle of a desert, and he's like, I have fought for this country, and the Top Gun logo goes by his head. And then he's like, and I fought for this country when aliens invaded twice. And then the two movies, War of the Worlds, and then I can't remember the other one, fly by, and he goes, no, three times, and then Oblivion flies by. And it just titles, you know, of the movies. And he says all these things like, and I played a lawyer, and I was a lawyer, and they show the firm. And he was like, and I was a super agent, and they show Jerry Maguire. And it's like, you know what? He actually has played all of these parts. Not that he's these people, but he has played all these parts. So he has an idea of what it takes to do or to be these people. And I think it's a really, really interesting choice. I think people would have a hard time with the whole I can't even think of the name right now of the religion that he's involved, the Scientology. I think they would have a hard time with the president of the United States being a Scientologist, but currently I think we're having a hard time with Christianity being in politics. So I think it'd be good to kind of push Christianity away for a minute and get some other religion involved in our politics. So, because there should be no religion involved in politics. And that's coming from our agnostic and atheist founding fathers. No religion. So, because everybody gets these wacky ideas. There's been wacky ideas from Zeus to all the wacky ideas currently, like Scientology. And so you can't apply that to any legislation. So I think it would be interesting if Tom Cruise ran for president, and I think he would actually possibly win. It's very weird to me to be actually saying this, and I mean, it's bizarre to me, but he's a big enough celebrity, and he's like always kind of been on like the better side of it. Does that make sense? Where it's like he's understood that he's an entertainer first, and he's always tried to do that stuff, even though you know, it's for people, even though there's the whole Eyes Wide Shut thing going on, and you know, and all the stuff, like I said, with Scientology, because it has to do a lot with money. So there's a lot of that going on, but nothing corrupt as far as I could see. And his life has been open. His life has been an open book for all of us to see, everything from infidelities to breakups to marriages to everything has been just an open book. So we all know what we've been given to know about Tom Cruise. And he seems like a good guy for this. He seems like an intelligent guy for this. At least a lot smarter. And, you know, our State of the Union addresses, you know, wouldn't be Nuremberg rallies like he's been having over the past. He's had like 15, I'm repeating myself, over the past week and a half. These Nuremberg rallies. I'm wondering when we're going to have the Nuremberg trials. That's what I'm wondering. Those are going to be nasty, dude. Because it's a, you know, we live in 2019 now, dude. We decide pretty quick on the way things go.
Let's finish the thought on this, though. I want to give credit to the Tom Cruise. Actually,
I'm not sure about, you know, whether or not it was a joke or
it is a joke. It's not even Tom Cruise in it. It's actually made by a guy named Miles Fisher, who is the Tom Cruise impersonator. And he put
it
together. There's actually a website for it as well, and they're going to be announcing a running mate soon. So they're going to pick another celebrity for a running mate. So it looks like it's they put a lot of thought into it. I'm pretty impressed by them, actually. So it's pretty
fun. Dude, no, and the graphics are really good. They really spent some money on this. And it's
I haven't
really,
seen it
really
yet.
Interesting.
I'm going to pull it up and watch it, but I did read about it. And I think that's very, very cool. But it's this guy, he's on to something. They actually have a website and everything now. Yeah, it's very fun.
I actually think Tom Cruise would be an interesting idea as a dark horse that comes in at the 11th hour. And because he's another one of those people that can actually pay for himself. You know, he can pay for his own, you know, his own nominee. He can pay for all of it. He can pay for, you know, whatever he needs to pay for. He doesn't have to worry about getting any donations. But the people that would be donating to him are probably people like Oprah. So
probably. I don't know if they're still friends after the couch jumping incident or not, but who knows?
Yeah. He's just being a little wacky. Little wacky Tom.
There you go. But no, that was a very cool pair. I can't wait to see the video. I did read the article up on it, though, and it does look very funny and very interesting. This guy has really put a lot of thought into it. Like I say, he's put a website behind it and everything. He created this. He didn't say how much it cost to create the little video, but he put some time and energy behind it. That's very cool. I like that a lot.
Sweet. Where are we at time-wise?
We can take a break. If you don't, we're actually 10 minutes over break time. You want to take a quick break?
What? We're already into the 40 mark? Unreal.
Yep.
Wow,
we can go straight through
it.
We can take a quick break if you need to get a cool beverage or something. We could take a quick break.
Cool beverage. All right, I'm going to go take a pipe load. Am I allowed to say that?
No.
Am I allowed to say that on the air? No. Not allowed to talk about fucking weed. All right.
We'll do a little.
Why not?
Let's see.
It's legal almost everywhere. Well, at least it's medicinal.
Almost everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But not quite. We'll do a
no,
little,
it's only 11 states. It's only 11 states that it's legal. No, I've got other stuff that I almost swore again, dude. I got other stuff. We could go
right,
straight back into politics.
To talk about. We'll take a quick break, and then we will come
we are
back
taking a break.
Here. Yep, little day right, night, crazy tonight. We'll be back and finish up the last 15 minutes. Give us a call, 347-989-0126. Here we go.
Won't you come out and play? Now, baby, let's get crazy tonight. Hey, 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 won't you come out and play? Now, baby, let's get crazy tonight. Flowing through my veins. If we stay, stay, we just might wind up dead today. If we run, it's done. No faith still gets it fun. I cannot understand the feelings of a better man. Cause all I want to do is take a soul. You feel the same, there's no restraining. Come and stand beside the stream. Let's dance, let's kill this true romance. Change this whole thing, been so strange. I cannot understand the
quizzes tonight. Hey, 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 won't you come out and play? Now, baby, let's get quizzy tonight. Hey, 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 won't you come out and play? Now, baby, let's get quizzy tonight. Hey, 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 won't you come out and play? Now, baby, let's get quizzy tonight. Hey, 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 won't you come out and play? Now, baby, let's get quizzy tonight. Hey, hey.
All righty, we are back. We almost missed it. We weren't paying attention. We were
Dude, what was that? What, I don't know if I've ever heard that song. Yeah,
that
you played that.
That was my buddy
before,
Jay
right?
Wright. He's the one I told you about that just right? stops his songs. He doesn't have a fade out. He just stops it. It's a good song. It's
it just ends.
Exactly.
No fade out.
All right, guys, we only have about less than 15 minutes here, probably about 10 minutes plus the final song here to talk about. So we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about this week. So we hope you'll call in and join us, 347-989-0126. Let's start with Epstein, because that was literally the last thing we were talking about last Friday, really, a week ago Friday.
Yeah, he was
alive and well.
And in jail and supposedly on suicide watch. Is what he was supposedly on. It seems that they took him off suicide watch, and then he either committed suicide or got killed. And
right.
45 chimed in, blaming and doing, you know, conspiracy theory on the Clintons. He retweeted a number of things, and Twitter in chief retweeted a number of things that were conspiracy theory websites and conspiracy theory
right.
tweets on the Clintons being a part of either his death or his life. And
right.
and the thing is, in one of the articles that he actually retweeted, it states 45's name as well. So he didn't
right,
read far
right.
enough into the article for that. And that happened, you know, a week ago. So I don't know what, you know, I haven't seen any of the fallout from that besides it disappear. And people,
right. well,
you know, are like, dude, you need
he
to
always
read.
Doubled down on it, too. He started off by just retweeting this conspiracy theory. And then they asked
right.
him about on the White House lawn as he's getting ready to go to New Jersey for his week's vacation because he doesn't get enough golf in other time. So on the way to the helicopter,
it costs us $3 million every single time he plays golf. Just so everybody
right.
knows that it costs taxpayers $3 million every single time he plays golf.
All right. So we had a $21 million week this past week. Anyway,
that's awesome.
So
we got
so
that money
after,
to waste. I'm pretty sure we still have a homeless problem. Oh wait, we have a mental health problem too, and he's at least taking up an issue with that now. Instead of saying it's not about guns, it's that people kill the triggers, and there's a bunch of insane people out there. He's finally jumping on that, but he's talking to an audience of insane people. So I'm not sure, you know, what's happening there as far as why he's reversing his – he just said it yesterday at one of his Nuremberg rallies. So he was talking about how it's about mental illness. And it's like, wait, dude, you were just talking about how, you know, it was guns. What's happening here? So that they were talking about,
yeah,
you know, Mitch McConnell doing background checks. What?
Yeah, that's a whole other subject to go into on that. Yeah, because he did reverse the whole thing on the background checks and everything today, it seems
yeah,
like.
Yeah, no, we can go back,
but
we can go back to Epstein anytime,
one thing
dude.
At a time. Let's try to keep one through line here and talk about Epstein.
It's just
so.
There's so much going on with, you know,
right.
his statements on a daily basis. So it just keeps jumping back and forth. But, yeah, no, the Epstein thing is that there were a number of names, and people like Governor Bill Richardson and Prince Andrew and Glenn Dubin, Senator George Mitchell, number 42, Bill Clinton, and number 45. We're all on his plane. All of this
right.
was documentation that was released from Jeffrey Epstein. I'm just, you know,
well,
all of this is all encompassing to me, dude. So that's why I'll go off on a tangent of something else that they do and then bring it back around. So right. I understand that you want to stay on, you know, one particular subject at a time. But to me, it's all encompassing. They're like, they're pulling stuff left and right and then, you know, trying to hide stuff that they did back here. So, sorry, go ahead.
Right. No, I understand that. I mean, there's so much. I mean, you can 45 can go off on 15 different things off one subject. But I want to try to keep it for the listener's sake to try to go through one point at a time.
Right.
And for this especially, I mean, it's a lot of interesting stuff there that you've discussed, that there's a conspiracy theories going around, which I don't necessarily agree, but I can see where they're coming
right.
from. The coroner did pronounce the death as death by suicide, but part of the conspiracy
okay.
thing was there was a neck, a bone in the neck broken. It's not usually done by suicide. It can be done, but it's usually not done in hangings. The certain bone in the neck, it takes a lot of force
right.
for it to happen. So that's
very,
help.
Very similar to Chris Cornell. Very similar to Chris right. Cornell on this, as far as, because there were ligature marks on Chris Cornell, that there was one that was on his left side that was 6 inches long, and there was another one on his right side that was 2 inches long. And in strangling, that doesn't happen. And it's the same thing
right.
on Jeffrey Epstein's death. And I mean, when you strangle yourself, when you hang yourself, that doesn't happen. It's only when somebody else strangles you that those things happen. There's a force
right.
on one side
so
or another.
They said it's possible, but it doesn't happen often. So that's, but they
right.
said with the preponderance of all the other evidence, the coroner's report does say it was death by strangulation. So
did
we'll
they have a
happens.
Funeral? Did they have a funeral for him?
I've not seen that yet. They did announce today, though, which I thought was interesting, because supposedly they took him off suicide watch the week before, the Friday,
right.
the couple
Correct.
Of before. But he did change his will 2 days before he committed suicide and left $577 million to his brother, $56 million
right.
of which is in cash, the rest and other things. But just to change your
he
will
gave to him,
days
he gave
before
it to him 2 days.
Suicide.
That's yeah, 2 days before he committed suicide, he gave it to him.
And he's not on suicide watch those 2 days. So that's very, very
right.
strange to me. So I think – but it also lends more credence to suicide to me than a conspiracy theory, that he's obviously – he's got some plan in his mind. He's redoing a will 2 days before this happens. So I think
Correct.
There was some forethought there in far as my mind goes. But
right.
Barr is – I mean, William Barr is very interesting in this. I mean, he's been kind of controversial as attorney general to begin with, but he basically flat out said there was a lot of bad things that happened in the prison system for this to happen, throwing everybody under the bus. If anybody
wow.
wants to sue the prisons, they can. And also today, I guess he took off the Bureau of Prisons guy. He demoted him. He was another acting person because all of 45 people are acting, but the guy that was, I think his name is Hugh Hurwitz. He was the agency's acting director of the prison systems of all the federal prisons. He's the acting director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Barr fired him today as part of this.
Right.
And the two guards that were on duty that were supposedly sleeping during the time, they've been on suspension since then, without
right.
pay. So it's going to be, this is, has a lot of, a lot of play left in it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Plus, all these cases, what's going to happen? Obviously, the criminal case goes away, but the civil case, they're talking about that one.
The civil cases
English
are all
girl
still there.
That was part
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
yeah. So, and is people still going to be able to be named now? Did other people know besides him? Everyone was talking about him naming names. Is there anyone else?
No,
like
he had a little black book. Dude, he had a little black book, and all of that information was already given to the FBI. So they already know all of the names. They just haven't released them because there's been documents from that little black book released. So I don't know, in this time, you know, in 2019, why would you keep a little black book? I wouldn't do it, but he did. So, and it's got all of these people's names, dude, all of these high-profile names.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
And he already gave
that.
Yeah. He already gave all that information up. And so, for, you know, once again, if he's going to commit suicide, then now is the right time to do that. And, you know, it does point towards that as well, because he already gave up all the information he needed to give up. There wasn't anybody
right.
else that he needed to name.
Well, you hope they don't take their time then getting all these conspirators in jail. I mean, the victims need someone to go after besides Epstein. I mean, they go after the state, but that's going to be
yeah.
just a clown show in and of itself, I'm sure. So it'd be nice if they'd name some of these other names that they have this book, supposedly. I hope they are investigating all of them, try to release some of them soon, at least say they're under investigation. That would be nice to hear.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Well, that's, you know, that's where I got the list from of the people that I just mentioned. You know, people like Glenn Durbin and Senator George Mitchell and Prince Andrew and Governor Bill Richardson is from the documents that were already released on who has flown on his plane and hung out at his parties and his mansions, and also people that have hung out at Mar-a-Lago.
Right, and his island.
I'm really glad. I'm really so glad because we had the opportunity to go to a party at Mar-a-Lago, and because of just people that we know. And when we were living in Miami, and at the time, and this is before he said he was running for president, this is when he was just, you know, a reality show host. You know, I never really respected him in the first place, and I'm like, I don't want to go to his party. It seems really pretentious, and I don't like these people, so we didn't go. We chose not to go to a party at Mar-a-Lago, and I'm really glad now that we chose not to go to a party at Mar-a-Lago. I'm like, wow, look at all these people that he was hanging around,
yeah, right.
you know, and do.
You've been hobnobbing
so
with the rich and
infamous.
I'm
glad my
there.
Instincts. Yeah, I would have been exactly. Would have been hobnobbing with Epstein, you know. And it's like, I'm so glad that I decided not to. Trusted my instincts. Thank you. So
there you go.
Yeah, it just seemed. Yeah, I really just, you know, and at the time, people that we knew were going to said party, and it ends up those people are kind of douchebags. So that actually went to the party, and I'm like, see, you know, this kind of sucks. So
right.
I'm really glad that we decided not to go.
All right.
But,
well, that's going to be a continuing breaking story. We'll talk about that. I can't believe we're out of time already. We had to play a lot of catch up since we were gone
what?
For a week. Yeah, I know.
Wow, dude.
It's done. We're done.
I haven't even gotten through half the list. Like Russia failing a missile launch and nuclear warhead that blew up over the Arctic. We got a spike
well,
of
guys,
like 16% in radiation.
We have lots to talk about. Like you said, we have those things. We have. Two U.S. congressmen being refused entrance to Israel. We have a lot of terrorists, homegrown terrorists stuff to talk about, two in my own little community.
And they're all getting, they're all getting busted.
Yeah. So
they're all getting busted.
Lots of stuff going on. We hope you'll listen all this week. We'll hear every day, 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern for an hour. Give us a call, 347-989-0126. We'll end out the hour one more time with little Jay Knight. This is Hotter Than the Sun. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We are back. Goodbye.
Okay.
I'm here to reflect your light. It's the only reason that I live. We've been running from the moment that we realized we were smoking a fire that burns. What is that? Ruins in ashes, dreaming in red. Don't you know we're burning up the atmosphere? Raining down, we're falling here.
this ocean.